You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. We made it to Friday, and we got a lot to talk about. We've got some crazy movers. You guys know about that. We got all-time highs. You also know about that. So we'll try to cover as much of it as we can. That's the plan for the day. Kenny Glick will be our guest in around 13 minutes or so. We'll try to keep the conversation PG-13, but with Kenny, can't promise anything here. So smash that like button. It's going to be a show. I can promise you that. It's going to be a show today. Joel, let's just start with the overall market, then we'll get into the fun stuff here.
Okay.
I guess the overall market is the fun stuff because we're at all-time highs. So
yeah. The market took that dip off that all-time closing high of 41.75. We're currently up four handles, 45.75, just knocking pre-market high right there, 45.48. Can't give you any resistance when there isn't any resistance. Trading at new all-time highs. Crude up 78 cents at 83.28. We got a little silly yesterday when we went to 83.96, so that's a target on the upside. Gold, people like gold today, up 11.70, 17.93.60. Need to get over that $1,800 hurdle. Silver, that's in the green by 24 cents at 24.41. Bitcoin, that's quiet this morning. It's up 640, 63,550. These are the futures. And Ethereum, that's up $54 at 41.37 and a quarter. Well, there's some days where we bring Triple D in and he's got a great handle on the market. He's feeling good. And today is Bizarro Day, right, Dennis?
It is. It's a lot of weird things happening today. Relationships all over the place and a mess today. When my relationships are a mess, you know I'm having a bad day. You know, just like simple stuff like TLT trading higher and the banks trading higher right along with it. I mean, the IWM is up 85 cents. There's a hell of a lot of stocks that are down today, so they got to buy something. So they're going in and buying the banks and buying commodity stocks. It's kind of what they're buying. There's a hell of a lot of stocks that are green too, though. So it is a very weird day. There's just no rhyme or reason. I mean, you've got some stocks getting hit pretty hard, and then you've got other stocks trading in the green. I mean, the best indicator last night was obviously the Snap news, which took the entire market down. I've never seen Snap, like a stock as small as Snap, take the entire market down.
I know.
That is exactly what happened. Give us the details, Mr. Israel, because this is a Snap sell-off.
All right, I was going to get to Snap later.
It's the most important thing to talk about. So obviously DWAC. I know you all want to talk DWAC, and we're going to talk a long time about DWAC. So don't worry. We all had trades in it. We all have seller's remorse in it. Every single person in the world has seller's remorse in it because it's trading at an all-time high, and it looks like it wants to go to triple digits. But okay, let's come back to DWAC in a second because this Snap news is more important for the majority of market investors.
Okay, we're going out of order today. So the Snapchat, if you only looked at the headline numbers, you would think, oh, it's not bad. Earnings per share beat, and their sales missed a little bit. But their sales guidance was light, and here is why. They basically blamed two things. They blamed Apple. They said, Remember last quarter, everyone? Remember when Snapchat blew it away? And they said, yeah, we've seen no effect from Apple. The Apple's privacy change, it hasn't affected our users, our ability to monetize our users at all. Well, that's not the case this time around. They said the exact opposite. Turns out Apple's privacy changes are affecting them. And in addition to that, they blamed global supply chain problems for what they called a weaker appetite for advertising right now. Because I guess why would you want to advertise? Why would you want to spend money on advertising if you know that no one's going to be able to get your product anyway? So you might as well wait till next quarter. So they blamed Apple and for light guidance, and the stock got hammered.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the stock that got hammered. It was everything to do with anybody who's got anything to do with that app store, apparently, because Facebook, your $14, or the advertising model, sorry, $14, it's down, but it was down 25 on this headline from Snap. You had Google at one point in time was down almost 100 points, almost 100 points on Google. They didn't even say anything. This is all from the Snap commentary. Like, that's knocking Google down and Facebook down. And then, because the queues aren't falling far enough, this absurd market doesn't even know what to do. The ARBs don't even know what to do. So they start buying Microsoft. So if you look at Microsoft right on this news, Microsoft has a wicked spike up to $313 because the ARBs are going, well, hell, queues are hardly aren't down enough here yet. So, and Google and Facebook just lost, a significant amount. So we got to buy something. So they're buying Microsoft. I'm like, Microsoft rallies $2 on the Snap headline. And I'm like, well, I can't even understand this. And it came right back in the Microsoft. So it was an awesome fade. But it just goes to show the arbitrage effects in this market are just incredible. The ETF arbitrage effects, with Microsoft rallying on it because the ARBs are all like, what the hell do we do? So the bots. So anyways, we've had a nice bounce now in Facebook and Google. I mean, Facebook hit huge support. I know we're not talking Snap as much because Snap isn't as widely owned as Facebook and Google. So we have bounced out of those areas, but this was a Snap sell-off in the entire market last night. And obviously the market has come back here this morning, buy the dip, wins the day again. It just always wins the day, it seems like. I mean, we're at all-time highs, so obviously it always has won the day. But it was some pain last night for, and there still is some pain in some individual stocks.
Yeah, well, let's go to the Snap first. It is coming back a little bit. That's your main catalyst. I mean, they just took this straight down. You got that instant reaction, and the pre-market low probably is, say, 52.48. And what's amazing, you rallied back. The highest level you've hit since that is just on the last bracket. It's 61.14. So if you're actually 61.20. So if you're looking for more upside, I think you got to get above 61.20. And now with, being that far off the low, I think you find buyers here if you start to go back down again. It really thickened up, after that spike low. So that's what I'm thinking. I don't own it. I don't have anything to do with it. I don't want to own it, so I'm not going to be looking at it today or
but that's the point. You don't own Snap, and it's still impacted the majority of a lot of other people's portfolios in the way of Google and Facebook. And how many other companies, are we talking about being potentially impacted by this? I know Twitter obviously is your obvious sell-off there as well, which in Twitter I still think, and I'm going to say, if this DWAC story continues to remain hot, I think the money could come out of Twitter there too. I'm surprised it didn't sell off more ahead of, obviously it's a Snap sell off this morning for Twitter, but I'm surprised they weren't hitting Twitter yesterday off this DWAC. And maybe that's the segue into DWAC. I've never seen a move like this, and I feel like I got, really wrong. I mean, I thought it would bounce out of the 10 area, but I thought it would go to like 12. To $82. I'm like, I way underestimated one, the power of Reddit, two, the power of Trump, the media following, obviously, that this is going to get major media. And just to say, like, I believe this became the number one stock mentioned on Reddit yesterday. I do believe that you saw weakness in AMC, you saw weakness in GameStop, you saw weakness in some of these other meme stocks yesterday because the money was coming out of those stocks to go into DWAC. Like we talk about, you know, we talk about this on our educational event too. You have this like retail Reddit, money, like this, that this huge amount of speculative cash that chases the next hot story, and it moves to chase the next hot story, and it goes into the next hot story. This DWAC is the epitome of all of that. This became the hottest story that maybe we've seen ever above GameStop, because you had a stock go from $10 to $83 now in less than 24 hours. I'm not sure I've ever seen that. I probably discounted it because it was a SPAC, and SPACs have been in the garbage for a long time. But holy mackerel, that's unbelievable. I know you made a trade on it. I made a trade on it. I bought it. Don't even ask where I bought it, because I bought it really low, and I sold it really low. And Spencer, I know you actually did a lot. You made 4 points on it. Which
Wait. I don't know if you guys saw it. Enver, do that again so we can show the people how Dennis and I are doing this morning. I don't know if you can do it again.
What did he do?
It was just up on the screen there. But if you were watching, then you may have missed it because it was quick.
A bunch of money.
There it is.
Yeah, no, that wasn't me. I wasn't making 80 points on this or 70 points on this DWAC.
No, me neither.
I said it on the show. I was like, when it got down like the 10.50s, 10.60s, like, I don't know if it's going to go all the way down to 10. But I'm like, you're going to have huge support at 10. And I kind of thought it could bounce to like the 11s, maybe even the 12s. But I said on the show, I was like, 19's long gone, or 22 that we talked about the pre-market high. I was long gone, never getting there again. It got there like in an hour. And then it just kept going and going and going and going. And the Reddit, this is an eye-opener for every trader out there, is that there may have never have been a more influential group of traders than Reddit. You know, like what they did with GameStop, what they've done with some of the meme stocks, what they've done with DWAC, and I believe it's all retail-driven here, and obviously algorithmic-driven, chasing retail as well. So the algo's in there too, don't kid yourself. But the story, I mean, we're in this market where story carries stocks 10 times further than you ever think they could. And I way underestimated the story of Trump here, so that's on me, obviously. I could have made a lot of money on it because I did buy it at a really good price. And I sold it thinking like, I did not see anything like this ever coming, Joel. So, and Spencer, I know like you had like 13 to 17, right?
You should have seen me. So I said, I'm live trading. I was like, I'm going to sell this thing. The first red candle that we get, the first red 15 minute bar that we get, I'm done. And it took a little while. But it came at like 11:30, I think.
I got traders in the chat saying this isn't WSB. I mean, this was the number one stock on Wall Street Bets. They've actually, I believe, taken it off this morning. It's mentioned so much. Am I incorrect with that?
What do you mean taking it off?
I believe this was the number one stock mentioned on Wall Street Bets yesterday.
That's not. I'm seeing it's among the most mentions. It's if you go to the top of the page right now, there are like a couple of posts.
This was the number one stock on Reddit and Wall Street Bets yesterday. But this isn't just Reddit. So I should correct myself.
Yeah,
this is all social media.
Right.
You go DWAC. You know, and I've talked about this on the show. Go DWAC. Go to your Twitter. Type in DWAC. Go dollar DWAC and go to latest. Don't go to top. Top sucks. Go click latest. Do you know how many tweets are happening on DWAC? There's one a second. This is on just Twitter. There's one a second. So maybe we shouldn't call just Reddit. This is retail frenzy at its best. You know, I've never seen a stock, Joel, on Twitter getting mentioned once, a tweet once a second. On DWAC, like you go to latest on a normal stock, if it's like just a small cap, like nothing stock, it might have a few mentions that day. You know, you go to Apple and it's got one every few minutes. You go to DWAC right now, it's got a tweet every second. Everybody is talking about this stock. So you've got Wall Street Bets, you've got Twitter, you've got probably Discord, you got every social media platform that is frenzying around this stock. And you know what? I'm, you see it go to 86 now. Why not 100? Why not? I mean, it's come this far. I don't know. I was looking at it last night and saying, should I buy it at 66? Because it's probably going to 100. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
I have no position in it. I don't really. I did, obviously, yesterday. Sold it way too soon. Spencer did the same thing. We sold it way too soon. Way underestimated the power. I can't believe it. If you're holding this stock and still holding it from $10, you are an unbelievable diamond hands.
You
got an 800% gain in one day. That's incredible.
Yeah, and it's not just DWAC. There's also PHUN, Funware. Somebody somewhere unearthed an article in USA Today from a year and a half ago about the Trump campaign app partnering with Funware. And now Fun is going to the moon, apparently, too.
Just speculating that Trump might do something with Funware. Speculating. Just a speculative. Trump market is back here. I mean, now you've got to look and, you know, where, you know, we obviously had this Trump market for a while. You know, we took Trump stocks, and this was infrastructure. It was different things, you know, what Trump was going to help with when he got in 2016. I mean, so now you've got to look at any potential rumor that, oh man, you know, is this one over here or a mention or something? I mean, do we have to watch the Trump Twitter feed? Has Trump tweeted about this stock? Oh, he can't tweet. I forgot.
No, he can't tweet. Gone. That's the point.
That's the whole point to it all. Do you see what Trump is saying right now? Is there any way to see what he's saying, or this is the whole point of the stock? We're going to be able to see what Trump is saying again.
He sends out statements. Hey, let's try. I'm trying to bring on Kenny Glick here, trying to get his camera working. And now Kenny's gone.
He'll be back.
He's
trading this thing.
He'll be back.
VWAP in this little guy.
I don't know. There's nothing.
Probably
would have
worked
say.
Really well. I mean, he's such an uptrend, you know, that VWAP's probably just chasing
him. Okay. I don't know if Kenny's camera is working, but he's here. So I'm going to bring him on.
Yep.
And I think, oh, there it is. There we go. Kenny Glick, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. What's up, y'all?
Have you ever seen a stock move like this in one day? Like a small DWAC SPAC, first of all.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
I just rolled in from Colorado, so I don't really know what the hell you're talking about. What's up? Something about Trump, right?
DWAC is what we're talking about. $10 SPAC yesterday. It's an $87 stock 24 hours later.
My friend has the warrants here at 8 cents. I think he's up 2.9%. Yeah.
No, it's like it was 50 cents in the warrants this morning just for fun. DWACW. Yeah,
Dennis, come on. We've seen it before. What about broadcast.com? They were going to stream Victoria's Secret models on the internet for the first time. The stock went from $8 to 220 that day. So I've seen it
before.
Going back
to the tech bubble.
Yeah, I've seen it before. And again, why not buy it now? Because $17.50 gets you 20, 20 gets you 22.50, 25, 30, 35, 40. If you get into the 50s, generally get to the 80s. If you get to the 80s, generally go to 120. Why not 120, then 250 today? No, why not? Why wouldn't it? It's why not 250 today?
It's a good question. I mean, I'm not coming in fading it, I'll tell you that much. I'm not going to be the hero fading this one.
Oh, no way. And not for nothing. It just broke VWAP at $77, so I bought it. So it's blue lines for me. I don't care what it is. You give me momentum and give me a VWAP break. 77 is getting me 120. I'm looking for 120 right now, and my stop's $80. So I'm risking $3 to make 140 points on the trade right now. Why not? This is the environment we're in. This is 2021. This is the new normal, as everybody loves to say. I've seen this movie, and it's just better this time. It's 99. It's better this time because there's actually more fluidity. There's more liquidity. There's more reasons to get involved in this casino. It's a government-sponsored casino this time. This is fantastic.
And there are no commissions, Kenny.
Exactly. So, I mean, I wake up in the morning, I press a button, I buy something at 77. It's at 93 now. What's to complain about? But everybody seems to find a reason to complain. Let this be the new way we do it. I love it. This is the greatest moment of our lives.
This is the Kenny Glick market.
This is. Not knowing about anything that we're buying, letters, prices, blue lines, and orange lines. This is my dream come true, and I'm not even trying to be funny here.
You know, I was thinking with Kenny coming on, I'm like, I wonder what crazy stock. I wonder what's going to happen for Kenny, you know, because just coincided with the workhorse. And then I was like, so I was, this was before I saw you on the schedule coming on for Friday. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what's going to be, you know, what crazy thing that Kenny's going to want to talk about. So, yeah. But it's momentum market, right? That's the best way to put it.
Absolutely. There's one of these every day. Look, we had a biotech stock, ORPH. Will that ever get back to $77? No, but it went from $2 to $77 that day. You got ALF, you got ORF. I got a list of 100 of them, you know, and then you want to go back and talk about a Ford. Hey, look, Ford options 2 weeks ago was a 300% move, a 500% move. So it's all about where you look. You know, you get 10-cent move on a $15 stock that hasn't moved in, you know, 20 years. You make 20 times your money on a Ford option play 2 weeks ago. So they're out there. This is just, you know, more exciting. And where'd you think it was going to go? I mean, I saw it I got off the airplane and we're talking about it. I'm like, oh, this could be fun tomorrow. And here we are. I mean, this is insane.
Kenny Glick, for those who don't remember, was the first. He brought us the Nikola SPAC. Before that converted last June 2020, he was on that train early. So, Kenny does not care about the company. He cares none of that. You don't care. You just care about the chart.
I did care about Tesla. And by the way, we dug up the article where I called it for it to go to 4,000. My call was, this is going to be one of those stocks where it's going to get to a point, they're going to split it, and everyone's going to buy it and bring it right back to the same price. So my call was for 4,000. We're here. This is it. So if Tesla can go from $125 a share to 4,000, where did we lose the idea that any stock could do that now? Any stock can do that because we have now taken over the market. The internet people have taken over the market, and it's about time. We are controlling. It's not Goldman Sachs upgrading and downgrading. By the way, let's give a great – never forget the Goldman Sachs AMD downgrade of Goldman Sachs downgrading AMD three times. Nobody knows anything. Nobody knows anything. You join in, you have some fun. Don't get greedy. That's what it comes down to. A little greed, a little bit of greed, a little bit of discipline goes a long way. Don't be too greedy, and a little knowledge of what you're doing, and you could join in on this frenzy. This is the greatest time to be a trader in the history of ever.
What do you use to find the ideas? Are you just using scanners? Are you using Twitter? Where do you find the next DWAC?
I'm just looking at the percentage gainers. It's always coming out of some $4 stock that goes from 80,000 a day volume to 3 million in the morning, right? And then suddenly that 3 million shares turns into a 40 million, like BBIG. BBIG, I still don't know what they do. The TikTok of India, great. I'm all in. I'm playing it up. I'm playing it down. It has options.
Are you still in BBIG because momentum's broke there? Like, you get out usually when the momentum breaks, don't you?
Right. And then I wait to see if the pump does not become an extreme dump and just go away like the ORF or the ALF, for an example. But then the volume comes back. It wakes up because the shorts, and again, I'm a shorter. We always think, all right, it's going back to zero. That's our mantra. All right, going back to zero. And then when it doesn't go back to zero and gets that life again, the shorters who are still you know, waiting for it to go to zero, which I don't understand why they short a stock from at $4. What's your end game? Four more points? Yeah, but they get caught and they get squeezed again, and it's a lot more fun. You know, sometimes it's more fun the second time around.
Are you still in BBIG?
No, that one I luckily got out. I heard there was news coming. I don't want to be involved when the stock, when everyone's thinking the catalyst is going to be good, it's not good. When the catalysts that are good are the ones you don't know. And like, ooh, look at me. I'm surprised. Let's go. Like this thing. When everyone's thinking the catalyst is going to be good, it's never good. It's never good. So I got out and apparently, you know, I have a call spread on it because, again, when you can lock yourself into a, you know, a limited possible loss, then you can play these stocks. But never owning. I own Ford right now. Ford, SOFI. I own real stocks. The QQQ, SOFI, and Ford. That's my portfolio right now, and I'm loving it. But most of the day trading is back. I trade every day. I've got my team. I've been showing them the VWAP, and it's been working extraordinary. Earnings season is our time to shine, and it's been pretty much the greatest year I've had trading since 1999. No joke.
Okay, so just to play devil's advocate here, what would you say to the people that are like, well, what happened in 2000, right?
What happened in 2000?
Yeah.
2000 was different. 2000, it wasn't that the market went up. I made more money in my career on the way down because when rational thought takes over, even for 10 days, 10 minutes, or a year, I love shorting. And that's when you really get an idea of where a stock's going to go, and that's when your skill set comes into play. 99, everybody thought was this great year because the market went up every day. No, I played the crash. But this is the best trading I've seen because there's that much more activity. There's liquidity like I've never seen. I've never been able to trade pre-market like this. I still don't trade aftermarket, but trading pre-market just around VWAP with the volume coming into these $3 and $10 stocks is unbelievable. Why invest in the stock market right now when you could buy a $4 stock that goes to 8 before 9 o'clock? And then it goes from 8 to 50 in the regular session, and you just kind of manage your money, realize what you're trading. You have no intentions of owning this thing. When the trade is over, get out because it's generally going to get a lot worse.
This is kind of what
the next name.
I was young, obviously, in 1999, 2000, 2001, but I can kind of remember this same thing. Like I can remember Todd sitting beside us, Joel, in the Bright office, and he was playing just like Kenny. He's like, well, you know, I'm buying Amazon because, you know, if it gets, you know, if it goes to, you know, $80 and it goes to 85 and then it goes to 85, we'll get you 90. And he would sit there and he'd make like 20% on Amazon. And this was the way Amazon was trading back then, like every day.
Right.
And I'm like, this guy just, and he was just trading the momentum a lot like Kenny would do. So it was like that environment times, like there was like a stock like DWAC. So I shouldn't say we've never seen it. We saw this all the time back in 1999 and 2000. Sure. Do you remember those days?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why, look, I'm the greatest. It's not because I've seen the movie before and now I have a skill to appreciate what I've learned for the last 25 years of doing this. I'm telling you, with VWAP as my sword of justice and my truth teller right by my side, my head basher, if VWAP tells me to get out of some of these momentum trades and I ignore it, I deserve to lose my money. And that's how I'm playing them. And I played every single one. You cannot name a stock that me and my crew were not involved in this year. Not one. And we traded them pretty much perfectly. Other than the ones that get halted and they come back out of the hole 3 days later and you're screwed. If you just
what was that? Did you have one of those? Tell us that story.
Well, that was ORF. Yeah. Some people got beat up by that. Yeah.
You got ORFed.
And we definitely got ORFed. But most of them, there's such liquidity that you can get out. And yeah, you're not going to catch the top. We're selling in the move. We're selling into the move. And even when they're crashing, you're covering on the bottom because you don't know when it's going to turn around and get squeezed again. But right now, I mean, the skill set that we had, and I'm telling you guys, if you don't use VWAP, you should. And I gotta get out to another seminar because I gotta talk about what these guys are doing right now. So I've been doing a lot of morning shows lately and showing people how you want to trade this market, use the VWAP. There's a lot of different, you know, a lot of different ways to look at it. But more importantly, guys, there's a contest. I'm up for Financial Influencer of the Year. They're using bots against me. I need
voted for you last night.
Send me, put the link in the show. Help me win something without having to pay somebody off. Because the guy just went from 200 votes to 3,700 votes in a day and a half. He's paying them. They don't want me to win. They don't want me to win. They're going to steal it from me. You know who's the best influencer. I influence everyone. A lot of people say that I'm not a good influencer. Of course I'm a good influencer. So influence this.
She influenced them.
I just put your is that on your Twitter? Because I put your Twitter handle up on the screen there. So is it on your Twitter?
I'm going to put it in the room right here. Hold on a second.
Okay. Drop it in the room.
Add Hit the Good Radio.
Votes for Ken.
Yeah. I'm the guy that's wearing the criminally negligent t-shirt. That's my mantra. Criminally negligent. Somebody called me that once about 8 years ago, and I went with it. She said, you really shouldn't say the market's never going to go down. It's kind of criminally negligent on your point. Is it? Where are we now? Well, the Qs are up 300 points since that conversation. Gail, if you're out there. But listen.
Not naming names, right?
Not naming names, but this is it, people. If you are losing money in 2021, call me. I will save you from yourself.
Oh, I feel like I need to be saved right now.
Kenny, man, we love it as always. Thanks a lot for
helping
us.
One more question, okay, because this is where I run into trouble. I get the entries, and I do well at the entries. The exits I've always sucked at. I always sell too early. You know, like I'm in DWAC and I sell way too early.
But that's all right.
How do you hold for like an 800% gain? Is it possible?
Yes, you sell into the move, and then you have what's called the FU lot. That's the lot where you don't care, and you let it ride.
You let the little
if you got 800 ride. Shares and you sold in 5, 10, 15, 20-point increments, you got that last lot, then you say, yeah, let's see what happens here. Maybe it does go
you
to
don't
120.
Care about it. Yep.
Yeah, that's the only way.
Size and key to holding. So you got put your some, size, and then exactly. slowly, you know, you
put the Lone Ranger music on.
Whenever I hold that little piece at the end, you know what happens? It comes all the way back down.
Oh, yeah, they sell it all. The last lot's the I don't care a lot. But my God, this is I didn't think we'd have these conversations again. Thank God we are. It's fantastic. I got to run. I'll see you guys later. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Kenny.
Let's come back to this one next week. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Kenny Glick, everyone. At Hit the Bid. Here's his Twitter handle. It's up on the screen. At Hit the Bid Radio on Twitter. Worth the follow. Chat was all over that. They loved him. So
Kenny's always good.
Always good to hear from Kenny. Let's move on here.
Let's go to Beyond Meat.
Beyond Meat? What the hell just happened to Beyond Meat?
Go to it.
Okay, holy!
It's getting orfed. Beyond Meat is getting orfed right now, so they just cut guidance.
So they just pre-reported.
Yeah,
they were not on the calendar.
They came in to update the third quarter, and the update is not.
They
good.
Just pre-reported, so they had given guidance. They had given guidance. They had given sales guidance for the last quarter of a range of $120 to $140 million. They just now this morning, like a minute ago.
Yeah.
Came out and said, oh, forget the 120 and 140. It's actually going to be like 106 million. Yeah. So,
yeah. Growth stock not growing. And now you're breaking down through all support levels. Ooh. So, there's some certain stocks I love buying the dip on. But when you take out, and we've talked about this 100 support and Beyond Meat, this was the level of all levels. So, you got the April low, 99.86, the May low, 142. The recent October low, $98. And now you look at it through all of that on terrible guidance. So now old resistance or old support, 100, becomes new resistance. So keep that in mind. If you're trading Beyond Meat today, I would think massive, epic, super duper, as Joel would say, resistance up at 100. It's a nice short opportunity. If it gets up to 97, 98, 99, where you can somewhat limit the risk. That's 94. I'm a little bit too far away from my short. If somebody was paying attention and selling it through that, good job, obviously, because the stock is
there. You go. Catch it with the momentum.
That. Catching it going
down.
Through the level. Bounces back to that level, I think would be a good selling opportunity. So ugly, I will not be buying the dip in Beyond Meat today.
Wow. Your next monthly level is 88.51. That was your May 220 low. So we're only $5 away from it. And boy, just quick. It had to be quick catch the news on that. Of course, Dennis mentioned the resistance, but that's one monthly low, 88.51, if you're looking for a little bit more on the downside.
That was came out of we took the show away nowhere. For a minute just because of that. I was trying to skip over Intel too because I own some shares of Intel in the long-term portfolio, and man, value investing is just been tough. You keep thinking, oh yeah, value investing is back, and it was looking good for a couple of months. Value investing was coming back. This market is driven by story. This market is driven by hype. This market is not driven by PE multiples. And if you're coming into a stock thinking, ah, it's pretty cheap here, cheap stocks tend to get cheaper, aka IBM. With the IBM move yesterday, I looked at my Intel shares and I actually thought about selling them. And just for the simple reason is that they're not liking value stocks at all right now. Intel quarter actually wasn't that bad, but it doesn't matter. It's not a sexy story. It's not something that everybody wants to go into. It's something that analysts are definitely going to chase price on, which they all do this morning. The quarter wasn't that bad, but it doesn't matter. It's getting hit. And now you have, you know, the herd effect because every analyst downgrading the stock today because they can't think for themselves. They just have to come in and downgrade the stock after the stock moves down 10%. Thank you all analysts who downgraded it this morning. You know, it's just... It, and obviously, I'm a little bitter about it because obviously I own this in the long-term account. I've been all over it. I bought it at 53. It was looking okay at 56. Now it's at 50. I don't know what to say. It is a cheap stock, but cheap stocks get cheaper. I guess you just got to trade story.
50 bucks. The headline number is actually there.
Terrible.
You want to give the numbers or it really does? It was the
yeah. Sorry, my computer is being really dumb right now. It's being freezing up on me, so I'm sorry if I'm breaking up. But the headline numbers actually weren't terrible, but it did just, I think, throw the kitchen sink at this as far as all the bad news was concerned. They said that they guided that their data center revenue fell short of estimates, and they guided that down. Cloud services, they guided that down. They guided the gross margins down. They said the gross margins are actually going to fall for the next like 2 to 3 years. They're going to keep falling. And on top of that,
is going to be bad for 2 or 3 years. They did this before Intel.
They
said the chip delay. And that was your clue. And, you know, it gets forgotten. And you know what? It'll probably get forgotten again. And there'll be a time where, you know, it'll pop back up again. But it seems like, you know, and we know support, a huge support of $45. So it's $5 lower than this. But you can't say stuff. It's going to be bad for 3 years. No. So note to all the CEOs and CFOs and everybody's on these conference calls. If it's going to be bad for 3 years, don't project it out 3 years because it's not going to do wonders for anything. And, you know, let's be honest, just what Kenny just said, nobody knows anything. You don't know where the hell you're going to be in 3 years. In this world, supply chain, inflation, all kinds of different things, nobody knows where we're going to be in 3 years. So don't even try to project that far out. I wanted to bring it back to Spencer. I interrupted him.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. No, I mean, on top of all that, the CFO is leaving. So, you know,
that's never a good thing.
Never a good thing.
No.
You know,
even if it was known before, and it's never a good thing.
We had Colby Howard on. Remember when they switched? We never followed up with him. He's the one that analyzes the changes in the C-suite. Maybe we should dig him up on this. But you did get a bounce off 50 bucks just because it's a, you know, a psychological level. But if you look at the bottom right chart, man, oh man, that $45 area. Look at all those monthly lows. There's at least a half a dozen monthly lows. Don't know if we'll see that 45 yet today. I will say, though, I mean, it hit 50. It's bouncing, but it's not like people are, you know, the reason it's not bouncing is all the short-term traders that picked it up at 50.05, 50.10. They're just flipping it out. So no potential upside in this one. I even look at this area right here. 50.84 is resistance. I know it's pretty close.
I'm not buying the dip. I own it talking against my book, and I'm not buying the dip.
Same here. I got it from higher.
You have it still too, don't you?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. I think maybe we should just stop diversification and just start going all in on the hot story of the day. That's what seems to be making the money, and that's a little bit of sarcasm involved. Obviously, I've always been a big fan of diversification. DWAC, I think Kenny might have just got stopped out on that, but it's down to $77. But hot stock of the day. See, that's what I don't get, you know, like, you know, with the strategy. And I know Kenny is very good at trading the momentum, but when things are like that, you get these stops and you put these trading stops off. I always feel like I get stopped out. I mean, you know, and this is, you know, not my cup of tea trading a stock like DWAC. You guys know that I'm a relationship-based trader. But I'm looking at DWAC and I'm like, okay, I went to 93. Now it's back at 79. Now I'm stopped out. Now what often happens is the natural pullback. You can stopped out when it's pulling back. And now it starts climbing. And then it's at 100 later on. You're like, well, what the hell happened? I lost, you know, I got stopped out and the thing continued higher. It seems like when I'm trading those kind of stocks, which is maybe why I shouldn't trade those kind of stocks, is I always get stopped out. I don't know if anybody else in chat feels that way.
My computer is acting funky right now, so I apologize if I don't chime in. But there is a couple more earnings we could hit on, or we could just go do some ticker time here. I mean, there was some. We had Chipotle last night. We had a couple more big earnings reports. I don't know where anyone else wants to go. We can just go to the chat. But I guess maybe we could do Chipotle because it is one of the bigger ones to report from last night, and their earnings per share beat. Their sales beat. Their comps were up 15% year over year, which I think was okay. They said they're raising their prices. I guess not to be surprised with that.
Shocking. Oh, yeah. No 2% inflation, though, as the Cleveland Fed, you know, was saying. Oh, yeah, we're running a little bit. We're right there on target with our 2% inflation. It's just ridiculous.
$1,800 stock. This is can't really put a lot of emphasis on the pre-market action though, but I got a pretty good feel on this one. Just this trading range that we've been in for quite a while. We are busting up near the upper end of that trading range. 1778 was the bottom. 1870 was the top. You're at 1849. So it's been in that range for a while. So I'd kind of go with the momentum. If it can bust above 1870, try and get back half of this move. Under the 1778, we're still like $100 away from that. You got some room on the downside here. But the restaurant, yeah, I just wanted to check on what was the – was it Brinker? Was that the one that got hit?
It was Eat.
Yeah. It tried to come back that day, but, boy, just sitting
they
on
set
the
bar low, though, for Chipotle.
They did.
They set the bar low for a lot of these restaurant stocks because they said a lot of bad stuff. And you're right. It didn't get, you know, and a lot of those other restaurant stocks actually did bounce back. DRI,
they did.
DRI traded down like 141 in the pre-market. You won't see it on the chart, but it was. And DRI is, you know, trading higher here today and got it all back. So it actually slowly ended up being a buying opportunity for some of these restaurant stocks. I was even saying like Starbucks, which hasn't really moved since I said it. But I still think there's concerns there, though. So I'm not going into those sectors. I think there's easier money. Obviously, there's easier money, as we were just talking about. If you just throw caution to the wind and chase the hottest stock. But I just think, you know, there it's not over for the supply chain problem. So despite Chipotle, you know, looking, you know, okay, like they didn't have any issues, I don't know that they're not going to have issues going forward. I don't know that I want to jump into restaurants here.
Okay, a couple stocks in the chat. What about PayPal? Let's talk about that PayPal move yesterday.
That was
something else, wasn't it?
They can't stop hitting it. So this is a serious move for a loved stock. And I mean, PayPal is very loved. And at a certain point in time, you probably do think, okay, one, does the Trump news change their opinion? I don't know if it does, but does it possibly change? Does the Snap news even, you know, like not so much the Trump news, like that wasn't good for it, but the Snap news, does it change their opinion on Pinterest? Because they're all related. I mean, if they're sniffing around here and they
see, that's a great point.
And they see, you know, Snapchat and Facebook and the advertising models. And I'm not sure how much that influences Pinterest. You know, I'm not, you know, the tech guru here. But I think there's going to be some impact. I think like, okay, well, maybe they don't want to pay $70 a share for Pinterest. I don't understand why they were doing it in the first place. I would like to have saw them go the Square route. But you know, you saw some synergies when you talked about it yesterday, Spencer.
All e-commerce.
I don't totally get it. The market obviously doesn't want them to do it. Stock price has spoken. I mean, there's no way PayPal would lose 30 points and lose, you know, over 10% in the last 2 days, if not for this rumor. So if for whatever reason, just saying scenario analysis, if for whatever reason it comes out, okay, yeah, they're out there not buying Pinterest, you'll see a huge rally in PayPal if that happens. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but you have to always be prepared. So at a certain point in time, PayPal is a stock I would buy the dip on. I'm not sure if it's at 244. Maybe you wait till you get a little double bottom. Maybe you get yesterday's low and it doesn't go through it, 242.98. But I don't know. Would you nibble on this one, Joel? PayPal bottom?
No. The thing is now is that you got a lot of people stuck, right? And so, yeah, I mean, those are two big, thick red candles there. So you got a lot of people that tried to pick a bottom in it the last couple of days, you know, 252, 253. That hasn't worked. And then you also have to think about, you know, there's a lot of people still sitting on a lot of profits, right? I mean, look at the move that thing had from basically 100 to 200 last year. And you're still at, you're at 240. So there's big institutions and big players out there. They're not, you know, the cost basis is lower. They're not buying it at 250, hoping to sell it at 252. So I would just take the look on the monthlies here. Your next monthly low comes in at 233.61. So if, you know, if you think this is a, you know, an overshoot, you're risking, you know, well, you're up a little bit, you're up $1.48, you know, risk 10 bucks, maybe to try and make 20, but it's just got a lot of overhead supply here. I think if the news comes out, it will get a pop, but it won't, it's just not going to be back at the, I shouldn't say it's not going to be back, but to get back to 270 off the news, we're leaking in here in the S&Ps, Dennis. Do you got some?
I don't understand why we were as high as we were. You know, so I'm not going to say it's news. I'm like, Facebook's down 16 bucks. Google's down 43, which is off the lows. You got the Snapchat implosion to the tune of 21%. You have some of the other stocks, you know, are leaking. There's a few stocks holding us up, but I don't see anything being a hero here. I mean, you know, we've got, you know, Lowe's is trading up a buck. I mean, you've got a few things trading higher. MasterCard's up a couple bucks. There's some rotation keeping us, you know, a few stocks up here. But I don't totally get why the S&P went up as much as it did on this. But, you know, it's hard to – this sometimes rational thought doesn't work. And we're not saying – like, it's the buy the dip mentality that obviously brings us back always. So – and that's not broken. And, you know, I think if I was putting a target on SPY, like we already hit the Spencer Israel target of new highs. We hit it yesterday or the day before on new all-time highs. So, which we did on SPY. Congratulations, Spencer Israel. I don't see this market. You're coming into a season that's historically strong for stocks. You're coming into a season where money doesn't know where to go except stocks. Because, like I said, am I coming in and buying the TLT? No, it was a fantastic selling opportunity up at 146. We talked about that 3 days ago. Down again. So maybe I should just be a TLT trader. But I just don't know where you go. So I think the money eventually goes back in all stocks again.
I don't know. I called for new highs. I didn't, but after that, I didn't put much thought into it. So
I think you could see like 475 by the end of the year. Why not? I don't see an alternative. It's the only reason. Like people, you know, you can have a lot of things you can be concerned about. Inflation, you can be concerned about rates going higher. You can be concerned about, you know, lots of things in the regular economy. The market has chosen to ignore all that stuff for a long time. And I don't know where it goes. I don't know where the cash goes because inflation is scaring people who are just holding cash. Personally, I hold some real estate. I own some stocks. I have a little bit of cash for a cushion. But I've, you know, like I said, on some of my, you know, cash portfolios, a while it goes up to 40%. I think I'm probably like 25. I'm still sitting with cash. And I never go under 15. So I always have some cash, you know, I always want some cash for some cushion. So I never, ever bring my long-term portfolio all fully invested. Trading, I'm on margin. I'm using, you know, Bright Trading Capital. So I guess it's not margin. I'm using Bright Trading Capital. It's a completely different animal. But for my long-term investing, I always have some dry powder just in case, you know, you get some significant sell-off in a stock and you want to get in there. I never like being all in. So I range probably between 15% and like 40-45% of my cash component, depending on how I feel. I'm at 25. So I'm like, I kind of, you know, feel fairly confident about stocks, or I would be up to like 35-40 right now. And, you know, and you look at the economy and you think, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't be, you know, thinking like that. If interest rates are starting to rise, it's not good for stocks overall. But then I think, well, where are they going to go? Yeah. So it keeps me somewhat invested.
I want us all to think about if we can brainstorm as a group, because I'm thinking more about this Snapchat news, right? And the implications now. Let's talk about this, because now you've had two major companies. You had Facebook and you've had Snapchat both come out and outright blame Apple's new privacy update You know how you can tell the app not to track you? You know, right? We've all seen that by now. Facebook and Snapchat now both blamed that for poor advertising and lower earnings. So what other companies are out there that are app-based, advertising-driven companies? Not necessarily subscription, like Match Group and Bumble had great they had great days yesterday because of a different headline from Google. But those are both subscription based companies. That's how they make their money. Maybe advertising too. I don't know the breakdown, but there have to be other companies out there that are app based that get that derive their revenue from advertising that are also going to come out and blame Apple for poor performance. Chat saying. Like Zynga, yeah, there are tons, but I'm having a hard time here thinking of them. I know there are many more out there, but I mean, Pinterest we just talked about. I mean, Twitter hasn't said diddly squat.
I'm scared of owning Twitter right now. So for all these reasons, even for the Trump reason, because you can say, okay, well, Trump, maybe this will never come. You know, maybe the product won't launch, but. Probably is going. It got Trump behind it. There's huge supporters, and there's going to be a lot of people that are going to go on that platform. So I think it is competition.
Maybe Etsy. The Trade Desk is maybe the Trade Desk. It's more of a ad infrastructure play. I don't know if Uber makes any money from advertising in their app, but Twitter is an obvious one here, right? If Facebook and Snapchat have both come out and said, yeah, this Apple thing is not helping us, that's for sure. Then when Twitter reports, I think they report next week, they're probably going to say the same thing.
I almost pulled the trigger on selling that yesterday.
Twitter?
The Trump, you know.
I had you thinking too. This is not good for Twitter. Yeah. None of this is good news for Twitter. Nothing that has happened in the last 24 hours is good news for Twitter. Nothing.
No.
So maybe it's because it's holding up not bad. So you think, okay, well, maybe it's going to shrug it off. But I'd be very scared of Twitter right now. I don't have any position in it. I would not want to own it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm selling in the hole. I mean, it's down 4% with the Snap move. So maybe now obvious people can see that. But yesterday was a great opportunity there.
Yeah, I was thinking about it all during the day, and then I didn't, and then boom, that news got snapped. But we'll see. I mean, they hit it down to $60, got back up to $63.50. $63.50 is going to be your short term resistance. The bottom of yesterday's range, I'm sure a lot of people would like to see that at $64.74. That's another $2 away. Don't see that happening today. The low of the move, the recent low of the move has been just under 58, 57.64. But we bounced so hard off that 60. And I think on days like this, you know, anybody that like, oh, wow, man, my 62 puts aren't going to do pretty, you know, they're going to go off the board. And then, boom, they see the stock at 60. You know, they can scoop it up. They won't, you won't have, you know, next week will be a different thing. But I think that's what is adding a little bit to support, especially that 60. I mean, if you were, you know, short, you know, the 60 puts or something, you know, a lot of optionality, I think, is going to dictate the movement here. But 60 holding up in the pre-market.
So some good ideas from the chat, maybe Roblox or maybe RVLV. Let's switch gears for a second. I'm just trying to get some ideas out there, but sure. A few people have asked about Sam Adams, Boston Beer Company.
This
is interesting here. So their earnings per share for the last quarter was $2.97. Their earnings per share in the same quarter a year ago was $6.51. So EPS went from $6.50 to under $3 in 1 year. I'm sure a lot of that is input costs and inflation. I don't look too closely into the report, so I don't honestly know.
And like we've said, craft breweries are not doing any, you know, bit of good for the majors like Tap and Sam.
Yeah.
And there's craft breweries. There's so many of these popping up. It's competition that's not going to go away. So the little guy, it's competition from the little guy. So that doesn't bode well in the long term for it. What I will say is a lot of expectations for Sam are so utterly low. The stock has been cut in half in the last 3 months. You need to hold. If you can hold this 496 low, which is the low from October, you got a chance to rally on bad news. So, but that's the key level. So if you're coming in here, I don't mind the setup. If you're coming in here buying at $500, which is just tick $500 right now. I stopped myself out of 495, so you're risking about 1%. If, you know, it might see this one, okay, it's you know, let's just, you know, get it all out of here, and everybody thinks this is done, and, you know, maybe this is as bad as it gets, I don't know. I'm not saying for a long-term investment here, I'm saying for a trade, buying 500, stopping yourself out of 495 isn't bad risk-reward, because you could see something like this. This wouldn't surprise me if it's one that could shrug it off. If it goes down to 495, I would say I'm wrong and move on. So I'd say I'm risking about just over 1% right now, seeing if it can be one of those situations where a stock rallies on bad news. Intel is not going to do that, but Sam has had bad news for so long that it has a kind of tendency where it could. So it has that potential. I'm not saying it's going to, but it could. And I don't mind the risk reward setup to lose $5 to
right down at the low of the move.
Yeah.
Another way to look at this too, if you know, if you're not looking at that kind of strategy, you know, picking, you know, the bottom and lean on it, you know, let it show some strength. And you know, a couple times you bounced the five, why wait to buy it at 550 when you can buy it at 500? Well, it may never get to 550, and it may go to 450 first, and then, you know, you can, you know, adjust your strategy accordingly. They haven't taken out that low. There's some other the reason that I like that level as well, Dennis. Ooh, what's that next low? No, you took out the 534. What's your next monthly low? 587.95. But it just seems like it's been thick around this 500 for a while. You got some accumulation. Pre-market high 525, but resistance at the close 517.22 if it gets back up there.
For those watching, Beyond Meat has at least paused for the moment, but while we're on, you know, we should have talked about Tattooed Chef TTCF, which is also trading down with it, and OTLY Oatly is, you know, any of these alternative plant-based companies, right, are going to trade down with the Beyond Meat today. So watch those if you haven't seen
them. I love the sympathy other place. So Tattoo OTL.
Chef. Yeah. And then Tattooed Chef, you have it up there. And then OTLY, Oatly, oat milk.
I mean, if you just tasted the Beyond Meat burger, you probably wouldn't have bought the stock.
You know what, though, you Joel? If you think you're eating all plant, it's not that bad. I told you my four-year-old kid wouldn't
eat
it.
Right, you know, you told that story.
He wouldn't eat it. But you know what? I went to A&W the other day, and it's the prices. Do you know what I paid for my A&W? I ordered Beyond Meat because I'm trying to eat healthier. And it's not that Beyond Meat's healthier.
It's not even a healthier option, Dennis.
I'm trying to eat less meat. I shouldn't say okay, I'm trying to eat healthier. Fine. I'm trying to eat less meat.
Fair.
But do you know how much the combo cost me for fries, pop, which I shouldn't get the pop from trying to eat healthier, and the Beyond Meat burger?
Let's guess.
In wait, Canada.
This is at A&W?
In Ontario.
Okay. So, you know, a fake meat burger with fries and a drink.
Yeah.
$15.
Oh, that's pretty good guess. It was $12.95.
Okay.
$13 combo.
Yeah. I ordered.
Gone are the days you're eating for $5. I'll tell you that much.
Did you get the root beer?
Oh, yeah. You got to get the root beer. You go to A&W. That's the whole point.
You get the Beyond Meat burger and you get the
Beyond Meat burger. You choke it down with the good tasting root beer.
I actually ordered an Impossible Meatball Stub over the weekend. We were out to eat, and I ordered an Impossible meatball sub. It tasted a little,
from
Joe Brady. What's it called, Joel?
Jim Brady's.
It tasted a little bit off, just a little bit. Like it was good, but it was just not quite the same. Not quite the same. Anyway, it's 8:58 here. We got a couple minutes left. We've run through a lot today. Chad had some good guesses here as far as the A&W thing.
They knew.
Yeah. What else am I watching? As far as gainers and losers, we've kind of covered the big ones here this morning. Man, that Beyond Meat really came out of nowhere. Pre-reporting, never a good thing. I didn't even actually see the calendar this morning. Is there anyone even on the on the calendar? I should probably have looked at that before the show. I didn't see. We had Cleveland Cliffs this morning. We had Slumbers here this morning. American Express.
The big week's next week.
Yes. Yeah. Next week.
Facebook
is
Monday. Everybody's going to be watching Facebook now with after the snap report. Oh, yeah. And then you have Google and Microsoft and AMD on Tuesday. Twitter on Tuesday, too. So you're going to hear from these social media companies. Wednesday, you got Ford and McDonald's. Twilio also. Thursday, you got Apple, Amazon, MasterCard, Shopify, Starbucks. Friday, Exxon and Chevron. Oof. It's the oil day. So you got some big earnings coming. It's going to be exciting.
Joel, I don't own Twitter, but I'm now scared for you. So I just spooked myself into being scared for you on Twitter. So I don't know if that means anything, but
$17, come and get me.
That's right. All right, everyone, please remember all the information from our show
for sure
is meant to be used as informational purposes every day, every show, not for investing or trading or even life or dietary advice for that matter. Thanks to Kenny.
Don't go to A&W,
apparently, in Toronto. Thanks to Kenny Glick. Thanks to everyone in our chat. Hit the like button. Joel's moving over right now to premarketprep.com. We're going to hop on.
Give me some easy symbols, folks, man. Take it easy on me today. Take it easy, I tell you. But good job, Triple D. Work your way out of it.
I don't think I've had a good job at all today. The DWAC, I have seller's remorse. Me too. Something like I've never had it before. Spencer, you bought at 13, sold at 17. You're like, that was a pretty good trade. I got to give some props to my buddy Alex on Twitter, though, before we go. He just mentioned, he says he bought a bunch of stock between 11, 27, and 16, and he sold only one third at 45, and he's still holding two thirds of the position. So congratulations, Alex, there, buddy. Great hold. That's unbelievable. Way better than I can do. I need to learn from you.
Way better than me. All it took was one red bar to freak me out. You should have seen me yesterday sweating bullets over that one red bar. Oh no, it's going back because it went from 20 to 17 in like a minute.
Look what just did the DWAC. I don't know if Kenny did get stopped out or if he moved to stop down or whatever, but you know, he's talking, you know, 85, 90, got to 93. It just traded down like 77. Now it's back at 87.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what happens to me. You know, if I'm in these Momo stocks, you know, you say, oh, I'm going to trail my stop up. You always get stopped out. So it's like, you got to just not look at it. And obviously then how do you control the risk? And I'm a risk manager at best. So I don't know, you know, even like I set up a trade for Aunt Sam, I'm like, okay, I know where my out is, but that's moving slow enough where it's not going to like stop you out. Stocks are going like this. They hit every stop. Everything gets hit. Yeah. So I'm not sure. Maybe you got to go really wide with the stops. I'm not sure. Maybe you just throw caution to the wind. So it's tough to trade that stuff.
Congrats to everyone who's long and strong. Stay green. And
did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.